Hi, my name is Jim, and this is Jim Warfare, the Battle of Ideas. And yes, an idea. Everything you know about the Earth is wrong. So Mark Sargent is going to be joining me now from the US, and he's going to be explaining to me why the Earth is flat and why everything I know about it is wrong. Mark, thank you for joining me.
Thanks very much for having me.
All right, so let's first quickly get something out the way. You are in Virginia. We just spoke about it. You're on the West Coast, not the East Coast.
I am on the West Coast, but not Virginia. Virginia is on the East Coast near Washington, D.C. I am on the West Coast near Los Angeles.
Oh, so not Virginia, you're in Langley.
Langley, which is really close to a city called Seattle.
Yes.
So if you go north of the California coast, it is Los Angeles and San Francisco and then Oregon and then finally Seattle.
Isn't Seattle where Nirvana came from?
Yes, the entire grunge movement in the 90s started here, and I only caught the beginning part of that before I went out to Colorado, where I spent 20 years doing video game and software testing.
Oh, fantastic. All right, so this is the most bizarre conversation. All right, let's start at the start. You represent the flat earth movement, and your claim is that the earth is flat.
Yeah, not only is it flat, but it's enclosed. So you're not on a little rock that's covered with a wisp of smoke flying through space in multiple directions and multiple velocities. You are actually in a building with walls and a floor and a ceiling, a structure no different than a planetarium, a terrarium, a sports stadium, a snow globe, whatever you want to call it, and that our best and brightest didn't figure it out until, by that I mean like the United States and the Soviet Union, figured it out in about 1960. And not for sure. They didn't know for sure until about 1960. And then when they figured it out, they decided to keep it hidden from the public. And they spent a lot of money and time and created the space programs. And it's slowly but surely been falling apart because of the internet and smartphones, and that's where we are now. And so in 2015, because I know it's your follow-up question, how did I get into it? In 2014, I looked into it, thought it was ridiculous. Everybody knows about flat Earth. Everybody's heard about flat Earth. It is stupid. It's ridiculous. And the reason is, but why do you think it's stupid? In fact, let me open with a George Orwell quote. George Orwell, you know, creator of 1984. He wrote this wonderful quote in the Tribune in 1946. He goes, it's really strange. He's talking about the responsibility of science. He says, it's really strange. You go to anyone on the sidewalk, you ask them how they know the world is a globe. And people say, talking about, we know. It is known, right? It is a given, like algebra. And then you push them. He's like, how do you know? People start getting upset. And he goes, it really he was talking about the responsibility of science. Well, because people believe basically anything that science tells them. And the reason I mention that is, okay, so he wrote that article in 1946. NASA wasn't even founded until 1958. So how did everybody in the world know in 1946 that the world was a globe?
But
there were no space programs.
Yeah, but they,
how did everybody
know? But didn't they know that already from the time of the Greeks?
Okay. What exactly about it? Again, there's some generalities there. There's only two arguments that are outside, because you have to throw out the entire space programs.
Okay.
Because it's not like NASA created the globe in 1972. We knew for at least five centuries before that. But how did you know? There's only two arguments. One is ships going over the horizon.
Yeah.
And the other is sticks and shadows.
I was going to ask you about sticks and shadows. Yes.
Yeah, the sticks and shadows. Well, most people don't even know, can't even explain the sticks and shadows argument. Plus, the sticks and shadows is also relative, meaning it works the exact same. You can test this with a flashlight in a dark room. If the sun is 93 million miles away and hundreds of thousands of miles, I'm going to use miles, not kilometers. Wait, do you guys use miles or kilometers?
We use kilometers. We're part of the Commonwealth.
Whatever. Be more like America.
So, what with your no, with your true. What we use a metric system. What do you use?
We use the old system. They tried to introduce, sorry, on a side note, they tried to introduce the metric system here when I was in about sixth grade, and it just went, just fell flat. Just
you
fell
must be the
flat.
only
I
country in
mean,
the world that still uses the imperial system. Maybe Japan, I
pretty
think,
much,
as
yeah.
well.
You know what? And I have a theory behind that. I think it's mostly because it's not very interesting. It's really bland. Everything's in tens, and it's like, you know, centimeter and decimeter and kilometer and all this. It's like everything else kind of has a cool rustic feel to it. You know, the ounce, the foot, the
The
yard.
inch.
You know, the mile. The
The
what?
inch.
The inch. Oh yeah, I mean it's got, really, and we got so many cool things that are tied to it. I just don't think it caught on culturally. I was like, oh, you know, kind of like it's like it feels like the Borg is coming in with the metric system.
Before you continue, I just want to quickly say, for the sake of those watching and listening on the podcast,
Right.
I'm not a journalist. I'm not here to try and argue with you. I'm not here to try and convince you that you're wrong. I'm sure you've had. I'm
oh, no,
sure
no,
you,
it's
I'm
fine.
sure you've
It's
had
fine.
plenty of that over the years. I just want to learn,
no, that's
and I
cool.
want to get evidence from
that's
you.
cool.
That's what we're going to be chatting
no,
about.
That's perfectly fine. And by the way, the chat room will be asking those sort of questions all day long. It's like, what about this? In fact, pretty much every day I get up and I have to answer one of two questions, which is, all right, fine, you believe the Earth is flat. What about blank? And how does blank work? We dealt with that with the film festivals. Anyway, sorry. So back to real quick, the sticks and shadows argument versus like ships going over the horizon. And we can get into other stuff in a second because I know we're limited on time, which is because I'll be talking a lot.
Yeah, you are welcome to chat. I think this is such an interesting topic that I honestly don't mind you talking.
Perfect. Okay, so the sticks and shadows argument works just as well if the sun is very, very close and very, very small. And that's what we're saying. It not only is this a building, but the sun and the moon are tiny by comparison. The moon is not 2,000 miles wide and the sun is not hundreds of thousands of miles wide. They are both less than, it could be even like 50 miles wide. They're extremely small. In fact, so small that when we draw maps, we can't even accurately what we want to put them on there because they'd be so tiny that you couldn't even put them on our maps. So just why when you see like, you know, our flat maps or the domed map, you see this big sun and the moon. That's the only reason we do that is because we have to depict them somehow. Because otherwise, and then of course the follow-up question is like, wouldn't it be light everywhere simultaneously? How do we have time zones? Why is it not day all the time? I'm going because that sun is actually the wrong size. The sun in that case would be giant, it'd be thousands of miles wide, and we're talking about 50 miles wide. The other argument is ships going over the horizon, which 10 years ago, I would have been right there with you. Ships going over the horizon. Yep. In fact, you have the finest camera in the world 10 years ago.
Well, I mean,
zoom in.
Well, I'm sorry, on that.
Go ahead.
It's not just the horizon, but if the ship travels further away, it goes below. It goes below the ocean line, the horizon line.
You're
what
sure
is what
that?
Is that?
You're absolutely sure about that. Yeah. So, yeah, watch some of our videos if you get a chance. Because now with HD technology, what's changed is HD technology, which is now, yeah, that boat used to be gone. But now, and I'll use the cameras of choice recently, which is the Canon, or I'm sorry, Nikon, whew, Canon, Nikon P900 or the P1000, which have massive zooms, like the P1000 is like 120 power zoom. Those boats, which used to be gone, you now can pull back into frame. They're now there again. It's like, well, what are you talking about? They should be gone permanently. Remember, behind the curve, they should, once they go over the horizon, that's it. They go over the other side of the hill. Not anymore. In fact, I put the challenge to anyone in science. I go, show me an object less than 150 miles away, because there's an atmosphere thickness issue, less than 150 miles away that you cannot see ever. You know, it's like, well, no, it's gone permanently. You can never, ever see it. Depending on the weather conditions, you absolutely can see that object. In fact, the only limit to our sight is the thickness of the atmosphere. Remember, what we're breathing in right now is 80% nitrogen, 20% oxygen with some trace gases. Forget about that stuff. But that is, you know, it gets thick over a period of time. People say, well, why can't you see Japan from California? Why can't you see Europe from the United States? And why can't you see Mount Everest from everywhere? Because it's the highest point in the world, right? I go, well, you probably could if it was a vacuum. But you can't, because it's not a vacuum. It's we're living in basically a thin version of water. No, and people are saying, well, I don't, that doesn't make sense. I go, okay, scuba divers, when you go 200 feet down on a perfectly clear day with the sun's right overhead, why is it dark? Well, because the sun can't penetrate that much water. This is a thin version of that. So,
okay, hang on.
Sorry,
so I just want to take a step back quickly. And we can do a little bit of a plug as well. You've got a documentary on Netflix, which I watched. It's called Behind the Curve.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. The community hates it, by the way.
I'm sure they do. And I'll be honest, I didn't get that much science from it. It was mostly about you. And I forget the name of a lady that was in it.
Patricia. That's right. Patricia Steer.
Yeah. Yep. It was mostly about your relationship with her and the community. And then you had conspiracy theorists within the movement. There was that one guy, I forget his name now, I'm so sorry, who
Bob Nodell, Jared?
The one who apparently was from NASA or something?
Oh, Matt Boylan.
Yeah.
Otherwise known as Math Powerland. Yes. Yeah.
And then you did a few tests. And then at the end of the film, you did a laser test and it failed. And you ended the document, or you ended the film by saying, oh, that's interesting. And then the credits rolled. And I sat there thinking, what just happened?
That's an excellent point because, okay, one, the power of editing, because you got to remember, by the time that film ended, they were not our friends. They hated Flat. They still do. And I send them stuff every time I do like an interview after I go overseas or, you know, I just shot a commercial in Australia. they hate it every time I do this stuff. And it's like, hey, you helped do this. What happened was a quick little side story, and I talked about it in the book, which was by the time we got to the conference, the movie was almost done, right? It was supposed to just be a human interest piece, right? It was just supposed to be about the people of Flat Earth. They didn't want to go into the nuts and bolts of it. But then there was that part, I'm sure you remember, where I was up on the podium and a 12-year-old kid was asking me questions from the audience. That apparently freaked them out. I didn't know this. It was in the director's commentary on the iTunes version, and that freaked them out. They were like, okay, you know, this is basically, they had to take a stand against Flat Earth right then and there, which was, it's all fun and games until the kids are involved. And it's like, we're not recruiting kids. I didn't ask that kid to be there or any of the other kids to be there. They just showed up. And you're going to take a stand. It's like, oh, no, you're messing with the future, which is what National Geographic said, and which is why the book, the book is called Flat Earth Clues, End of the World, because National Geographic asked if Flat Earth was going to take civilization into the new Dark Ages. I was like, what? Okay, sure. Let's go with that. So anyway, by the time they got to the end of the film, they knew what stand they were going to take. So they were going to hurt us in editing any way they could. With the Jaren thing at the end, the initial shot was, remember, there were two experiments that Jaren did, same identical experiments. First one, he melted the condenser on the laser, because if you don't know anything about lasers, you can't have them on for very long because they weren't designed. They're basically supposed to be on for a certain amount of time, but if you leave them on for like 10 minutes, you could melt them very, very easily. They left that out of the movie entirely. The first one failed. And then the second one, he was shooting what he thought was over a flat piece of land, and it wasn't. It was actually not flat. And they left that out of the movie entirely, which was, now granted, it was partially Jaren's fault. I'm not gonna blame too much on the director, because I didn't know until much, much later that Jaren, he didn't do a dry run on the test. That was the first time. It's like, oh no, we'll just do it live. We'll just show up there live at night. We'll do it the first time. What could go wrong? And is one, like, the perfect example of why the scientific method still applies. And that is test, observe, repeat, test, observe, repeat. You don't just do it once and then say, okay, well, that's it. So the test was supposed to show that a laser going straight should go from this point to this point. And if it's flat, if it's perfectly flat, then you should show it. And supposedly when he had to raise it up a little bit to where it was shown, it's like, well, does that prove a curvature? What your point was, and I love this, love that you said it just like that. I was in the theater with a whole bunch of people, and I asked them afterwards in multiple screenings. I go, do you know what happened at the end of the movie? They go, no, but something went wrong. They couldn't tell you what went wrong, just that something went wrong.
And it also made it look as though your own film was pointless.
Exactly. Which, by the way, we had nothing to do with that film. We literally just signed the waivers. It was done by an independent, it actually worked out really, really well for us. I call it the Trojan horse, because almost everybody, when they were first watching that movie, like the 20, 30 minutes into that movie, everyone thought it was like a parody. They thought it was like a piece of docufiction.
I thought so too.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
I'm still on the fence.
No, it's absolutely. Yeah, I know. You and I, we'll talk. They thought it was a piece of docufiction, and then all of a sudden there was this montage. I think it was like the mainstream montage where, you know, all of a sudden it's a thing, and you know, there are different people talking about it, and people, I could see them all over the theater going, "Wait a minute. there's something happening on the internet and I don't know about it. It's like this big corner of the internet, which you didn't even know existed. And it's absolutely there. Mm. And nowadays I feel envious for a lot of people that get into it for the first time now. Cause if you type in Flat Earth into YouTube, you just get this wall of content and you're going, and you know, stuff that's been around for 2 years and 3 years, and you're going, where did all this stuff come from? Because but you haven't missed it forever. It's only been around for 4 years. And it absolutely is real. No, and I'm telling you, it's staring at you right
now.
You
say it's been around...
Absolutely.
Sorry, man, I'm interrupting, but you say it's been around 4 years, but I'm suspecting it's been around a lot longer than that.
Oh, well, of course. We didn't invent Flat Earth, of course. No, nothing like that. But the new version of Flat Earth, the social media version of Flat Earth, has only been around for about 4 years.
How do I know? Okay, so hang on.
That what? I'm real?
Yes. So on the one hand, you are positing that this is all a conspiracy, not a theory, but just a conspiracy. How do I know that you're not part of a conspiracy theory within this whole thing? How do I know that you're not?
No, because. No, and I've had people within the community actually accuse me of that as well. But why I'm not, and there have been any celebrity that talks about Flat Earth, that's like the first response. It's like, no, he's trolling. Mm. Like Kyrie Irving, he's trolling. And the wrestlers, no, they're trolling. And different other athletes, and no, they're trolling. If I was trolling, when exactly am I going to reveal my master plan? 4 years is a really long time. And I've taken so many punches to the gut in the media.
You've destroyed your job opportunities.
Oh my God. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyone? No, you cannot type. Yeah. No, I'm in for the long haul here. This is what I do. So no, do you think I like being abused by the media on a regular basis? I lost count of how many interviews.
No.
I absolutely believe this. And here's why. And I challenge this to everybody that goes out there and may or may not look into this. In fact, the very first chapter of the book is called Look Away, which is, if you like your life the way it is, if you think you got a good bead thing on things and everything is awesome, don't look at it. That's not reverse psychology. I'm telling you, don't look at it.
So you're saying enjoy the blue pill?
The what?
Are you saying enjoy the blue pill?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Take the freaking blue pill. Yeah, the cipher line from the Matrix. Absolutely. It's like, why didn't I take the blue pill? Because everybody that goes into this tries to debunk it. Everybody, this shows the power of the topic itself. Everybody goes into it hating it. It's like, no, this is the stupidest thing ever. I can shoot this down. It's kind of like watching a guy sit in a park, or a woman, you know, all God's children, I'm not judging. Whoever's sitting on a park bench and they're playing with like a child's toy, like a puzzle, and they're having a really tough time with it. And from a distance, you're looking, it's like, this guy's a moron. It's like, why can't he solve this puzzle? Right. And eventually you see him get really frustrated. He slams the thing down on the bench and he walks away. You walk up, you look around, you walk up to the puzzle and you're going, I got this. The longer you stare at it, the more complex it becomes. So the short, I've got a lot of short versions for you. The short version is this. No, I'm serious. Which is, can I prove to you that the earth is flat right now? No, I cannot. Can't prove it to you. Can I create so much reasonable doubt in the globe that the only place you have left to turn is some sort of flat earth model? Yeah, I can. I can do that all day long. And people in science are like, well, no, reasonable doubt isn't good enough. It's like, oh, no. In court, every hour of every day, reasonable doubt wins. It always will. So which is why the community has been growing and growing and growing, because and you saw the documentary, we can't even agree on exactly the finer points of the model. But all we can do, which is why I use the Scottish Highlands reference, at the end of the day, we all hate the English. At the end of the day, we all hate the globe. That's what we all can agree on. It's like, no, we absolutely know it's not a globe. Now, what exactly it is? In fact, I'm not kidding. It's like 70-30. Only 70% of us even believe that it's a dome. It's, you know, that it's a snow globe, but there's another 30%, mostly because they don't like being fenced in, that don't even believe in a you know, that we're in a building. It's just like a flat open plane. But that's how it starts. Okay. Everybody tries to shoot it down.
All right. Sorry, go ahead. Okay. No. So before we go too complicated, I want to get to the nuts and bolts, but I want to kind of start at the basics. So obviously there are piles of questions that you've dealt with over the years and the very obvious ones, but let's just get them out of the way and the basic stuff. What is this flat earth model that you I mean, I want to say propose. Is that am I correct in saying that?
What we're talking about, I'll give you again, this is a podcast, so I'll try to do the best I can without visuals, but there's tons and tons of models you can look up online. Again, whatever I'm saying here, seriously, type in online, you'll see a bunch of references. What we're talking about would be a, do you have covered sports stadiums down there in Joburg?
Sports stadiums. We have sports stadiums.
Sports stadiums, like, you know, where they play
Yes.
football? Are they like covered? Or are they open mostly?
Oh,
Mostly open because
mostly
it doesn't rain.
open. Yeah,
Okay,
yeah.
well we have enclosed stadiums where we have cities up here where it rains and snows, and so we have enclosed stadiums. Imagine an enclosed stadium like that, and inside that stadium is a giant saltwater lake, and in that saltwater lake are a bunch of islands, which would be the continents in this case. The sun and the moon are just lights in the sky, along with the planets
Okay,
and the
so
stars.
it's flat with a dome.
Yep. No different. I mean, again, whatever model works best for you in terms of what you've seen. So when I say planetarium, most people don't know what a planetarium is. When I say terrarium, maybe. When I say snow globe, I hope to God everybody's seen a snow globe in their life. You can buy them anywhere. But imagine a snow globe which doesn't have that high of an arc, which is much wider and much shallower in terms of the ceiling. Something like
Okay,
that.
so hang on, I want to get this straight. So it's flat, more or less, with a dome, and my understanding is that it's surrounded by the Antarctic ice wall. Yes?
Well, in fact, don't even call it the ice wall. I know people have been latching onto that in the media because of the whole Game of Thrones thing, but seriously, they really have. But we're talking about, yeah, the Antarctic continent is the only continent that doesn't look even remotely like
So
everything
it's not a
else. It
continent, it's
is a,
just a wall,
it's
essentially. Some
just,
sort of
well, it's, yeah, it's a ring, but it's much, much thicker than you might think. So the beginning, the coastline of Antarctica is just the beginning. It would go thousands of miles inland. Which kind of was how the story of a lot of people, how it started, which was the United States and the Soviet Union started looking for this thing, the outer marker, that started back in 1928. And they flew around in Antarctica for basically 30 years. And they finally figured it out around the end of the 1950s, almost 1960, which an operation called Deep Freeze. Public knowledge, you know, they was like they've been doing missions out there. Our greatest admiral, Admiral Richard Byrd, that's what he did for 30 years. He basically just flew in his plane out in Antarctica. And when they figured it out, they locked down Antarctica with the Antarctic Treaty, the only unbroken treaty ever, and then militarized space, but we can get into that.
But I live in Cape Town, which is at the bottom tip of the African continent, and ships travel from here to the Antarctic. And I know people who've done that. So what is this now?
Oh no, you can go there. But when it comes to corporations, nobody owns, and one was really weird. Find me another piece of real estate anywhere in the world that nobody owns, which is really, really weird, and considering how big it is. And they say, well, no, it's chopped up equally. No, it's chopped up equally that way. If anyone wants to do something, you have to have approval from all the other nations. No corporation is allowed to set up shop in Antarctica ever. The only people that are down there allowed are
Researchers.
researchers, military scientists, the military, and the occasional tourist that wants to take their picture with some penguins, you know, on the peninsula.
Is
That's
that
it.
because is that because if you go too far, you reach the Truman Show style edge of the
There you go.
dome?
Yeah, that's basically
And
it. And I honestly, I don't blame them. Which is, think of it this way. Let's say you own British Petroleum, which is a fascinating, which I talked about in the Clues. I don't know. I know you saw the documentary. I don't know if you watched the Clues, which is I talked about the Antarctic Treaty, and I said, okay, you own British Petroleum, and you know that there's massive amounts of resources in Antarctica. Not only are you not allowed to go down there, you're not even allowed to talk about it. That's the part that blew me away. Look, this world is run by greed and money and power. We all know that. It's like in the United States, we lobby for everything. If they wanted to start fracking in my backyard tomorrow, you know what fracking is, right?
Yeah.
If they want to start fracking in my backyard, they could absolutely do it. They could make that happen. And yet, these same companies, with all their massive amounts of liquid assets, are not allowed to even talk about it. If I was in British Petroleum, I would run a front page, a full page ad in the London Times every month saying how great it would be for our company to go down there. It is unbroken.
Okay, so
Cannot be And this effect's not even up for review until 2040.
What is this dome made of? And how did it get there? And how old is it?
It's extremely old. Old, way older than us. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I should qualify this. We didn't make this place. Not even close. Humans had nothing to do. I take the line from Contact. You remember the movie where when she finally meets the alien, whoever it is, and he says, and she goes, did you build this? You know, this whole tram system. And he goes, we didn't build it. We don't know who did. It was here when we got here.
So what? It could have been extraterrestrial development.
Well, at that point, you have to redefine what an extraterrestrial is, because we're talking about a self-contained system. We're not talking about planets that actually exist material-wise. That Mars, you can't land on Mars and Jupiter and Venus and Saturn. They're just lights in the sky.
They don't exist. Okay. Hang on.
They exist only as lights.
Okay, but
only as
they're props.
Yeah, so much, yeah. No different than a planetarium. You go into a planetarium. Do you see the moons of Jupiter? Yes, you do. Can you land on Jupiter in a planetarium? No, you can't. And you say, well, doesn't make any difference because we're in a building. I say, when you walk out of that building, who says you aren't in a much bigger building? We've talked about this in science fiction concepts for years, although we've never made a movie about it.
But hang on. My wife and I went to a little town here in South Africa called Sutherland. It's basically one of our astronomical hubs. It's in the middle. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere. And they've got a whole bunch of observatories and satellites, and they're busy building all kinds of interesting space stuff there. It's one of our sort of scientific claims to fame, at least on the African continent. And I've been there, and I looked through telescopes, and I literally looked at Saturn, and I saw the ring around Saturn and the moons.
Yep.
But the ring goes around, so it goes behind the planet. How do you explain that? What is that?
I believe the question you're looking for is, if all the planets in our solar system appear spherical, then why aren't we spherical? Kind of like that?
Okay, yes. Yeah.
I mean, I could boil that question down, which is like, look, and believe me, I have talked to many an amateur astronomer, and they've all said the same thing. It's like, look, I've seen the moons of Jupiter. I've seen the rings of Saturn, blah, 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 blah. It's like, yeah, I know. I get it. You're just looking at an image, and that's all you're looking at. I mean, again, we can simulate this, and we have been simulating this now in planetariums since, oh, wow, the 1970s with simple technology. Imagine if you had technology that, I don't know, was 50,000 years, you know, our technology evolved 50,000 years, what we could do. Think about this. We didn't even have HD televisions 20 years ago, and what we can do now. You show an HD television to somebody back, I don't know, back in the 1950s, they'd freak out. It looks so real. So short version is, you are looking at a projection, no different than anything that we can do now, only much, much bigger. The engineering is far more advanced. Who built it? You have only two choices. One is an advanced civilization that's much larger and much more powerful than ourselves, something we've talked about in sci-fi.
And this
years.
Is a game or that we're in, some sort of simulation.
Simulation, experiment, petri dish, yeah. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, only that we're on the inside and we can't get out, okay, so the Matrix reference kind of falls apart.
Okay, I've got a bunch of questions.
I know.
Can I just ask a whole bunch of questions? The comments are going berserk. I won't get to them just yet.
I know. And you probably won't, because they will not
no,
stop.
No. All right. The most obvious questions I have to ask you, and I'm sorry if you've been asked these before. Okay, so
no.
Has anybody ever been to the edge of where this dome is? Has anybody been beyond it? What's on the outside? And
officially or unofficially?
Okay, both.
Officially, well, no, the public's definitely not going to go. Again, why the Antarctic Treaty is so strong. As far as the only people that have probably seen it, United States, Soviet Union, I probably, you know, Admiral Byrd definitely, and his team, as far as what's beyond it, I try to live one world at a time. So all I know is that when they found it, they tried to bust through it for 4 years, and it was practically public knowledge. They hid it in plain sight, which was look up the high altitude atomic weapons program, or high altitude nuclear. I don't want to screw up the pronunciation because the Americans wrecked that one. High altitude nuclear testing from 1958 until 1962. All the testing from for those 4 years between the United States and the Soviet Union were straight up. They were firing straight up. Nobody did ground tests. All they did was fire up for 4 years. And that was for one reason and one reason only. That was one, to punch through it with the early megaton shots. And then after that, the low kiloton shots was to paint the sky, which turned out to be very, very helpful, because every rocket, you have to figure out where the arc is, the curvature of this thing, because when you send up rockets, you can't have them going straight up.
So in the center, it'll be at its highest point then, if it's a dome. Unless,
potentially, yes.
Unless it's infinite. Hoping. Someone in the comments suggested something about an infinite
that
plane.
Infinite. Yeah, and those people, again, not knocking those people that say they're infinite, those are the people that get claustrophobic when I say dome. Because there have been a number of people over the years that said, you're turning the universe into a one-room apartment, and I'm starting to freak out. And I go, well, it's a very big one-room. It's like a giant studio apartment, so you're fine. But the problem you have is, if you don't have a dome, you have to deal with the gravity versus the vacuum of space question, which science to this day will not answer. I'll give it to you really, really quick. You ready? You'll like this. And that is, I won't do this as simple. The long version is, why is our atmosphere still here if the vacuum of space exists? Pressure versus non-pressure cannot exist. There has to be a container, and which means it has to be ripped off. And you say, well, no. I'll go, okay, I'll give you the smaller version. You ready? Do you have a second story of your house or where you're living?
I actually have a two-story house, yes.
Perfect, perfect. Okay, you make the second story of your house into a vacuum chamber, and right above you, you put a big cork with a handle on it, and you pop it. What happens? Everybody knows, a million times out of a million times, the air is going to equalize. It's going to be instant. It's going to be violent. Maybe black out. Maybe even die. I don't know. But it's going to be instant.
Well, that's the same.
Nobody
as an
questions
airplane.
That.
If you pop an airplane.
Yeah. Anything with pressure versus non-pressure. But the house, you'll understand the house version why. And they say, what's your point? My point is that why didn't gravity keep the air in your room right now? And you say, well, because of the equalization. I go, that's my point. My point is, space is a giant, giant, giant vacuum chamber. Huge, way bigger than the one that's right above your house right now. So how is our atmosphere still here? I have never gotten a satisfactory answer from any scientist. Which is, where does our atmosphere end and the bleeding edge of space begin? It cannot exist that way.
So as you know, I'm a cartoonist. I'm not a scientist. But my question, based on that comment, might be, well, wouldn't gravity be the reason why our atmosphere is holding everything?
Why didn't gravity? Perfect. Why didn't gravity keep the atmosphere in your room with that very small chamber above you? Why didn't it do it? It's the same gravity. In fact, not only is it the same gravity, it's identical. You're in the exact same place. And science, they just blow me off. No offense, you know, to you, you're not supposed to answer that question. Mm. But that's when anyone ever says, you know, gravity versus the atmosphere of space. I threw five questions here. Let me throw some out real quick. I threw up five questions to a Georgetown physicist. It was set up. I was completely unsolicited by a German television team. And they said, okay, give me five questions. We can give a physicist. We got a guy who'll debate you. It's like, right on. Because science really doesn't like debating this. And I said, okay, gravity versus the vacuum of space. Long distance photography. The moon eclipse shadow is way too small. The moon temperature is cold, which doesn't make any damn sense. And the Van Allen radiation belts, are they deadly or not deadly? If they're deadly, then how do the Americans get past them? And if they're not deadly, why do the Americans say that they're super deadly? I threw out those five questions. I know that's the really short version. To this guy, and he folded like a card table, and that was it. The segment never aired. The Germans went away angry, and that was it. No one to this day. I have never had an academic come at me with any positive answers to any of those things.
Well, obviously, I can't answer that, but I do have a question. So I've got a couple of questions I want to throw at you. Okay, so
yeah?
If we're inside this dome, can you tell me what global warming then is all about, or climate change?
That's a good one, and I'm glad you asked that, because in fact it really surprised me over the last couple of years, really since the documentary came out. People have asked me, do you believe that climate change is real? And I say, well, I can't obviously guarantee you that it's real. I mean, it's interesting that up in Seattle I was getting a tan last Halloween, which is weird because I should have died from exposure from wind and rain. And I literally was getting a tan all week. But doesn't the whole term greenhouse gases make more sense if it's an actual greenhouse? Not this kind of soft, fuzzy, oh yeah, the gases are hovering at this certain altitude and that's what's trapping things in. Doesn't it make a lot more sense if it's an actual physical building? Because if it is a physical building, oh yeah, then what we're doing inside here would actually have a huge effect on it. Even if it was an automated mechanical system, we're going to have an effect on it. I mean, come on, we're having the car engines, no offense to electric cars, but the car engine is just a tiny furnace. And we have billions of these things running all the time. What do you think's going to happen? It's no different than taking a propane lantern into your car, while the air conditioning is running. The air conditioner is going to have to compensate for that propane lantern sooner or later, and it's going to create hot spots and cold spots. So do I think it's real? Probably. Sure.
But it's
Why not?
manipulated artificially.
You mean is it being compensated for? Or
Well,
well,
it's been adjusted artificially by
whoever built this place.
actually, I guess that's my next question then. Who are the beneficiaries then of this system? I guess you can't answer that.
Who built it or what did they get out of it?
I suppose both.
Probably both. Probably both. Who built it? Again, it's and I'm not trying to be tongue in cheek when I say this. Did God build it or did God subcontract out the work?
Are you religious, Mark?
I am, but I wasn't for a long time. And by the way, I've also got to mention that at least in the United States, at least half of our members, and they deliberately did not talk about this in the documentary, are hardcore Christians. I can't speak for the other four major religious houses of the world, but at least when it comes to Christianity, half of them are real. Half of our members are really, really into it. And for the simple, simple reason that is, if it was built, meaning if it's an inorganic structure, if it's a building, then it was built. And it was built, okay, it was built by someone, which if you were already into God, the thinking of the idea of God, it completely reinforces it. I mean, it takes you from 90% to 98%. And if you're not, it brings you back into it somehow. Now, not necessarily into Christianity, but it brings you back into spirituality. I was into IT for 20 years. Church, I don't have time for church. I still don't really go to church much, but I think about the concept of God a whole lot more.
I've got a whole bunch of stuff I want to ask you, and the time is going way too quickly. Do you have a few
I
more
know.
minutes? Do,
Yeah, we can go
can
over.
you can
That's
you go
fine.
over? Okay,
That's fine.
fantastic. Okay, because I've got some stuff. I've got so much stuff I
Yes,
want
perfect.
to ask.
I'm gonna go over for you just because you told me that story about the actor from the District
Yes,
9.
yes, yes. So, for those who are listening now, just before we went live, I was telling Mark a story about Sharlto Copley from District 9. Mark was saying that District 9 is one of his favorite sci-fi films. That's correct, eh, Mark?
Yeah, the one of the perfect sci-fi films ever made. And yeah, how you snuck into a press junket, kudos. So
So
yeah, you take as much time as you want.
those who don't know, the very short story is that I pretended to be a journalist and I did a one-on-one interview with Sharlto Copley when he did a press junket in South Africa when he was promoting District 9 and the A-Team. But I'll talk about that another time. It's a great story.
Okay.
But I want to quickly get back now to some questions I have for you. Okay, so I live at the bottom tip of the continent, and
Right.
I suppose in geographical terms, fairly close to the Antarctic. If
Right.
I were to stand on top of Table Mountain with a very strong telescope,
Right.
why is it that I cannot see the Antarctic if it's flat?
Your vision is limited. Again, it's the design of this place. The design of this world is ingenious. There are some really, really cool design aspects. I mean, one, of course, would be the 3% salt solution in the ocean, which limits exploration like 97% or more, which is amazing. But as far as why you can't see, like, well, for your another example would be why can't you see Japan from California, and why can't you see Mount Everest from everywhere? Because Mount Everest is the tallest place there is. You should be able to see if there's nothing obstructing it. And that is, you are what we are breathing in, what we're talking in is only 99.99% transparent. We are talking and living in basically a thin version of water. We're living in kind of a soup. which is it's 80% nitrogen. Most people don't even know this. You're barely even breathing oxygen right now. It's 20% oxygen and 80% nitrogen. Forget about the trace gases. I like the easy to remember stuff. I don't care about the 5 or 6 trace gases. So then what that means is it has a thickness to it, which means that it over time it gets 90%, 80%, 70% transparent and further to where eventually it just blurs out. No different than when you are in water. We've all seen footage of scuba divers taking shots of whales at a distance. Well, they get about 300 yards away and that's it. They just fade away because the water is so freaking thick. What we're breathing is not very thick, but it's thick enough to where you cannot see. I think the maximum range at sea level has got to be, can't be much more than 150 miles. We've done some tests at about 100, 120. I think at 150, it's maxed out. But my point is, if it was a vacuum, if theoretically, if you pulled out all the atmosphere, oh yeah. And I think that's part of the design, which is that would completely throw people. Because if it was a vacuum, if we didn't have to breathe this, then we would be able to see very, very far. Sorry, trying to keep my answer short.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I don't mind. Before I ask my next question, as I said, I've got a bunch of questions. Everything that you're saying sounds unfalsifiable. So in other words, you can make the claim and I can't prove it wrong, or nobody can. If you talk about a dome, no one can get, can someone get to the top and touch it? Can they fly high enough, for example?
Well, no, for several reasons. One, civilian market can't get anywhere close anyway. And I don't care if you're Elon Musk or not, which is a whole other thing.
South African.
Yeah, we should talk about Elon Musk, because there's a lot of Americans that think he's American. It's like, does the accent not do anything for you? He's not from here, but whatever. Even though he doesn't talk South Africanese, is that what you call it? So the space is militarized, and that's the big thing, which is look, civilian aircraft, we're talking about something that's very, very high up there. So civilian aircraft cap it at about 10 miles, spire planes, if you believe them, maybe 20 miles, and then after that it's all military. So as long as the military controls space, which was the entire point of NASA back in the day, back in 1958 when it was formed, then no, that part is unfalsifiable. You're absolutely right. And a lot of these things are. Again, remember what I said, it's not that I can prove it to you, but I can create so much doubt in
it.
But
how do you know,
that you're
Mark,
going to be thinking
how
about
do you know? How do you know what you're saying?
Because the reasonable doubt got to me. How's that? Because if I started out like everybody else started out with way less material, what I did was, I thought the same thing. I said, flat Earth is stupid. I can blow it away in 3 days. I'm going to finally check this thing off my bucket list. Because I had an opinion on just about every conspiracy you can think of. Some I like, some I don't like. But this one is like, nobody even wants to look at it. I mean, seriously, I said in my clues, I said, look, I know people that absolutely are convinced that the royal family of England are made up of lizards. Convinced.
That sounds like David Icke.
And yet I would, well, yeah, but I would, in fact, David Icke's a great example. And yet I could go up to someone like that and say, oh yeah, what about flat earth? And you'd be like, get the hell out of here. It's like, really? Because you were just telling me about lizards. But this isn't believable. And for me, it's the reason I absolutely believe it in my heart is because I can't shoot it down and nobody else could after me. Meaning I literally, it was like a cry for help. I said, okay, I can't solve this. The internet hive mind is brilliant in their collective consciousness. And I put the videos out there and I said, blow it away, kill it, and tell me where I went wrong. And I was just waiting by the phone. I put my address out there, my phone number, my real name, every bit of information you can think of. And people started calling me saying, I mean, the subject matter experts were amazing. They kept calling me saying, you know what? I mean, pilots and engineers and air traffic controllers, surveyors, they all kept saying the same thing. They're going, you know what? This isn't that crazy. Here's why. It's like, what? Why aren't you blowing this thing? And it's like, this. I don't want this to be real. And then it just got reinforced and reinforced to where here we are 4 years later. And
I need to just take a quick moment and I have to ask you one or two questions from the comments. The comments are going ape. In South Africa, we can't say ape. So it's going berserk.
Yep, going berserk. We can't say ape.
Ah, okay. All right. Okay.
2019.
Everyone's politically correct. Okay.
All God's children.
All right. So one of the comments is someone says, yeah, he's flown over the Arctic Circle and he didn't see a wall. He said Arctic.
That's the Arctic. That's the Arctic.
So that's in the middle.
Arctic's the north. Which would be the center? This, and by the way, the center is a really interesting thing anyway, because Admiral Byrd supposedly went there in 1926, and whatever he found there, exactly over the North Pole, which is weird, because most flights divert over the geographic North Pole, which is really weird. But whatever he found, that's when the United States Navy just sent him to Antarctica and said, oh, you're spending the rest of your life here.
So, Mark, so, which way is north?
Wait, what?
Which way is north? I mean,
sorry.
If I hold a compass...
There technically, we have to invent new terms for this.
No, but if I hold a compass, there is
no,
it points...
There is no north, south. North, south, east, west is irrelevant now. There is the center, and then there's the outer rim, meaning...
I'm holding a compass. If I hold a compass, it's pointing...
Well, yeah, but that's because the compass was made when everyone thought that north was actually a definition.
So north doesn't
now
exist.
The compass points to the center. If you want to call it north, that's fine. Everybody's used to north. It's comfortable. Fine. Say
okay,
north.
Okay, but then what is south?
When it comes, there is no south. Everything's south. Technically, it's north in the center and everything's south. Or everything is the outer edge. And we only say south because we don't have another term for it. I would just put O instead of S. The outer rim. That's where it is.
Like,
and by the way, what's weird, by the way, watch some wonderful videos on YouTube that has nothing to do with us, where they ask people in Antarctica, what does the compass do when it gets to Antarctica? It's like weird stuff. It doesn't really do anything.
Man,
there should be a magnetic south and it doesn't exist. Why not?
Mark, I feel like I'm having an acid trip here. Okay, I need to quickly ask you another question from the comments. Because they also
they do. I've heard a radio guy break out a thing of whiskey from his drawer.
Mine is finished already.
I had an interview get canceled because the guys just started blazing up and they became completely incoherent by the time it was over.
All right. Okay, so I'm just quickly scrolling through the comments. I don't want to take too long on them. Something about global warming, we've gone past that already. All right, I'll come back to the comments. I want to get back to my conversation with you. Okay, can you tell me about a lunar eclipse? I'm sure you've been asked this. How does that work?
Oh, yeah. Lunar eclipse. Okay. Solar eclipse is actually better, but the lunar eclipse. The lunar eclipse shadow is too small. That's the short version. I got a chance to spend time in the blackout zone during the Great American Eclipse, you know, because we like branding things. It was cool. It did. The eclipse traveled diagonally from the northwest all the way down to Florida, which covered the big swath of the United States. But what's interesting is the lunar eclipse shadow is only 70 miles wide, the blackout zone. Mm. And you're saying, okay, what's the point? I go, well, the moon is 2,000 miles wide. So why is the eclipse zone only 70 miles wide? And you can look up any scientific diagram and they say, well, it convexes the shadow and it funnels it down like a magnifying glass into this one blackout zone 70 miles wide. I go, or it could be like we say it is, that the moon is around 70 miles wide. Because remember, when you're walking in a sunny day down in South Africa against a wall, your shadow, you know, always is either actual size or larger. It never becomes smaller. It's like you walking next to a wall and your shadow of you walking shrinks down to the size of a micro machine. And that doesn't exist. And you're saying, well, you know, the scientific explanation. I go, fine. If you want to latch on to that, tell me the flip side, which is if the Earth is remember, we'll reverse it. Instead of the moon being in front, let's say the Earth is in front, right? Mm. Well, the Earth is only 8,000 miles wide. That means the blackout zone should only be about four times as wide, which would be 250 miles wide. We should see a blackout zone on the moon. And you don't even need binoculars to see it. You should see a blackout zone that's only about 250 miles wide. We never see it. We always see this giant red thing that covers it. No one ever explains that to me. It's like, why? Why shouldn't it be the same?
But hang on.
Why isn't the same?
In this dome, is the sun inside this dome or is it on the outside?
I'm going to say yes. Because
yes
it could
to
be
what?
Either, to be honest, we're still working out the details on that because at this point we're wondering is the sun even three-dimensional or is it just a two-dimensional light source that's being jacked in from something else, meaning the sun is basically an incandescent light bulb and the moon is a LED bulb, which I should explain in a second.
Yeah, and what's powering it?
Which is... listen to a guy named Eric Dollard. He explains it probably the best. He goes, I don't know what, he's not one of ours. He said this years ago. He goes, I don't know what the sun is. He goes, but there's no fusion happening up there. He goes, it's getting powered from something else. I mean, technically the light on your ceiling, right? Where is it getting the power from? You don't know. It's just wires going to the ceiling. But what I thought was more interesting, let me run it real quick here, is the moon. The moon isn't reflecting the sun's light. When you see the moon up in the sky, it's self-illuminated. And by that, I mean it's generating a cold light. And you say, it's cold at night. No. In fact, I was into Flat Earth almost a year, and somebody brought this up to me, and I said, get the hell out of here. So I'll use Fahrenheit for you real quick. So we all know that in the sunlight, it's like 90 degrees in the sun, 80 degrees in the shade, right? Because whatever object blocks the sun, right? It's cooler in the shade, always cooler in the shade. It's the exact opposite in the moon. So it's 50 degrees in the moonlight. It's up to 13 degrees Fahrenheit warmer in the moon shade. And that shouldn't be. At very least, it should be neutral. It should never, ever go negative. In fact, I was the one that first postulated. I said, okay, what happens if you take a magnifying glass to moonlight? Because we take it to sunlight, you can burn paper and ants and your friend, right? But if you take it to moonlight, does it get warmer? Or does it get even colder? It gets colder. And you can test this all day long with point-and-click $20 thermometers from the grocery store or water, you know, little digital thermometers and water. It's amazing. Does that prove a flat Earth? No, it doesn't. But it absolutely blows away the relationship between the sun and the moon. And it helps us a great deal, which means the sun and the moon are completely autonomous from each other, which they would be because they're so damn tiny.
But why is an eclipse always circular then?
Why is an eclipse circular in a planetarium? Because we just make it circular. That's it. I mean, waxing and waning crescents. We see the circle. It's like, look, it's being fake. Eventually, you have to come back to the same thing, which is all the world's a stage. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about an illusion that was created for us, a big sound stage for some reason. Why want to call it an experiment? You want to call it entertainment? I don't know. It feels like school to me, though. It can really only be one of three things. It can either be entertainment, which I don't think is the case because a lot of people aren't having fun. It could be confinement, which would be like a prison planet or a prison world, which doesn't really make sense because it's a really nice place. I mean, honestly, there's some really wonderful places. It feels more like school, where we're here to learn something. But that's
a
bigger picture.
Can you explain to me then Earth's magnetic field?
Earth's magnetic field. Okay. If this was a dome, then everything regarding the magnetics would be controlled from below.
What do you mean below? So what, under the ocean?
I say below, meaning, okay, so gravity, which is a whole other thing. Science would say, let's start with gravity real fast.
Hang on, does gravity exist?
I believe it exists. But it doesn't. There's some argument in the Flyers community. They say it's not gravity, it's density. Because if it is an enclosed system, density could account for a lot of it. Which means if you're in a pressurized system, then things rise or fall depending on the density of the object. No different than you take a ball and you put it in water. Why does it pop back up? Density. But do I think there's gravity tied to it? Yes, I do. Look at it this way. Science will say they can't tell you what gravity is. They can only tell you what it does. They can only tell you the symptoms. And they say, well, gravity is this magical molecular force that pulls things down to the center of a ball. And I say, oh, gravity is a magical molecular force that just pulls things straight down. When it comes to magnetism, which is just really tied to gravity directly, the only difference I have is that the moon has nothing to do with the tides. Meaning if you were going to control water and the tides in some sort of system like this, you would definitely not attach a directional magnetic force to a tiny object like that. You just do it down below and then say, and when the moon does its thing, remember, the sky is just a giant clock system. But everything else is
so
mechanical.
But the magnetic fields supposedly create the aurora. Is that just part of the theatrics?
Yep. Yeah. Everything in the sky is just a giant, beautiful, elaborate clock system that signs and wonders the seasons. I mean, it's the perfect clock. It transcends all language. You don't need a language to understand how that clock works. Eventually, you will figure it out over time. And we've shown that over years and years and years and thousands of years. People have figured it out. It's like, oh, okay, when the moon's here, this means this. When the stars are here, this means this. And then only later do we invent the clock, which is so simple by comparison.
So what's holding the sun and the moon in place? You alluded that you're not quite certain where the sun is.
No idea. No idea what's holding it in place. I mean, is it some sort of unified field engine? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. That's assuming that it's actually a physical object that's being held by something. I mean, you could do it. I mean, come on. You're into sci-fi. You know you could do it several different ways if you wanted to. The easiest way would be not to have it being held by anything. It's just a light. It's a projection that emits light.
Then Okay, I suppose you've answered this. Sorry, you've.
This is not what you expected, is it?
No.
Because you were, there was thinking, it's like, no, Flat Earth isn't real. I'm fake. Good night, everybody.
No. I'm very off guard here.
You're not going to sleep. Don't look into this.
No. Seriously, I'm just so. Look into I'm it. Not quite certain what to do Why with all this information. It's so strange.
Well, no. Think of it this way. It takes a while. The average person when they first get into Flat Earth.
I'm not getting into any Flat Earth. Let me just say that.
No. You're thinking about it though. Yeah, you wait. You'll be like, no, this isn't real, and I'll look this up. This isn't real, and I'll look this. That's how everybody starts. It's like, I will Google NASA. I will Google gravity. I will Google Elon Musk. And I will. You'll start doing these things, and you'll start finding these loose threads. You're like,
we in South Africa are quite protective over Elon Musk. Are you saying he's an actor?
No, I'm not saying he's an actor. I'm saying he's a fraud. he's awful.
So are his rockets. Come on, all those rockets that he sends up. Where are those rockets going?
Wonderful. You can be protective of them all you want, but there's a headline that ran in the New York Post that literally said, "I was so happy they did this." And I'm not look. If he's a national hero, great, fantastic. But it said Elon Musk is a total fraud. Here's why. He has never followed through on anything he has ever said he was going
to
do.
But his rockets went to the space station. By the way, the space station, does it exist?
Only in that there's something up there, but there's nobody in it. I mean, could it be? Is there something flying up there?
But
sure.
Mark Shuttleworth, sure. You know who he is. He's the guy who developed Ubuntu for Linux. He comes from a suburb that's very close to where I live. He literally went to the space station.
Right. Is he a billionaire?
Yes.
No. Then he didn't. Sorry. Unfortunately,
you know
anyone that says they went.
Are you?
Oh no, I've heard the name, but no. Sorry, if he's a billionaire, he has too much to lose. He signs the waivers, and no, he hasn't gone anywhere.
He didn't go to the space station.
Yep. Tell me how space works. Tell okay, first off, in fact, I know we're running out of time.
No. We'll go over time.
Let's go a step further. Let's go older. You believe the Americans went to the moon. Why? And I know inside the United States it's required.
Hang on.
We have
You're
to
asking?
Believe that. But outside of the United States, why do you believe the Americans went to the moon? Because you saw it on television?
No, but that's like asking, why do I believe Julius Caesar existed? It's part of history.
No. What? Actually, that's not a bad example. But no,
I wasn't
the Americans,
alive when man landed on the moon. Oh, hang on. But you're saying man didn't land on the moon.
But what I'm saying is the photos, and everyone should be suspect of the Americans. I swear to God. We lie about all sorts of stuff when it comes to our government. But when the photos and the videos from the Apollo have aged so terribly that we've been chewing those things up way before this. In fact, our own people were suspect of it starting about the late 1970s because the photos didn't make any damn sense and neither did the videos. There's so many holes. And I'll send you an image after we're done. It's like, find how many things wrong are in this photo, right? And you say, well, what do you mean? I go, there's at least six things wrong. It doesn't make sense. Sorry, the space station. Mm. Look at the interior shots of the space station. There are so many production mistakes. Remember, moviemistakes.com, that's for movies, right? Coffee cup moves, this is over here. People make mistakes in movies all the time because they're shot out of sequence. There should be no mistakes in real life. The news should not have production mistakes because it's real, remember? And we've been just destroying the ISS. I mean, hell, we could destroy it alone just on ISS hairspray, which is look at the women's hair. It should be flowing naturally. It's put up like the bride of frickin' Frankenstein. It's permed. In fact, why, which is a whole other thing, why do they even have hair at all? The filtration systems wouldn't allow it. How does a spacesuit work? It defies the law of thermodynamics, meaning pressure needs a container, right? You have a basketball in your hand, right? Why can't you fold that basketball? Because it's got pressure on the inside.
Yes.
We can't fold it, right? Why does a spacesuit not turn into a basketball? How is a spacesuit completely flexible in a vacuum? Their arms and legs work, perfect articulation points. Their fingers work. They can manipulate complex electronics. It's stunning. And it's because the reason why is because the average person doesn't know anything about physics. They don't know mathematics and they don't know engineering. And that's what they decided. It's like, you know what? The average person doesn't know any of this stuff. Let's just put it on television. It'll work. It'll totally work. And for the most part, it did until recently.
You just reminded me now of that guy called Felix Bott.
Baumgartner, oh, the Red Bull jump, awesome, perfect point. Felix Baumgartner, you can look up this image all the time. And I've talked to people in the media about this. In fact, Neil deGrasse Tyson, the face of science in the world, right? He was angry about this because he's like going, because they used a fisheye lens, which is, of course, called, otherwise known as a peephole lens. You know, when you look through your hotel room. GoPros. But it's the same sort of lens, which is, you know, it creates this massive curvature, you know, to get more of an angle. It's a wide angle lens. And he's like, remember, he's only 120,000 feet up. And the angle, the image they're showing, it makes him look like he's 400 or 500 miles up, and he's only 20 miles up. So why did they use it? Why did they get allowed? And media to all, I've talked to people in media, and I go, why did you use that when you know it's not real? They go, well, it's a better shot. It's a more dramatic shot. He's wearing what appears to be like an astronaut suit, even though it's just a flight suit. He jumps, and no. And Neil deGrasse Tyson says, straight up, he says, there is no way you can see the curvature at 120,000 feet, which was interesting. It's like, why would you bring that up on stage? He's no one is saying that. So no. In fact, I could send you a video in 2 seconds of a weather balloon at the same altitude, which is absolutely perfectly flat. So who's lying? The weather balloon that we didn't send up, somebody else sent up, or Felix Baumgartner? Look, the Red Bull, it's a brand.
Did he jump, though?
Of course, he was up there, 120,000 feet. It's 20 miles. How hard could that be?
It's 3 times higher than the average commercial flight, more or less, I think, or maybe 4 times higher.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, it's... Still, I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm sure it was super scary to jump up there, but he wasn't in space.
So I just mentioned airplanes.
In fact, he was suspended. Here's the thing. He was suspended by a balloon. That was the other thing they didn't show. It's like people saw this capsule, right? But they chopped the shot above it. It was a balloon. It wasn't like he was suspended there, like up in a, he didn't go up by rocket.
Can you explain to me then? I've seen the flat Earth map. In actual fact, if you go and watch this show, this episode later, you'll see that my intro video, the very opening shot, actually is a flat Earth. And the way the continents look is all very, it's like almost like the United Nations flag. Am I correct?
It is the United Nations flag.
I want to ask you something. I've flown from Johannesburg to Sydney, and that flight was about 12 hours.
Yep.
A flight from Santiago to Sydney is about, I think, 13 or 14 hours. But the distance is gigantically different between those two flights. Explain that to me.
Yep. Don't know. I really don't know. If there's a super jet stream that we don't know about, if there's something else going on with the flights that we don't know about, are planes traveling faster than we're told? I don't know. You're absolutely right. It's one of the sticking points we have. We know there's a perspective problem when it comes to the outer rim. And people will ask that from time to time. But honest answer?
You don't know.
I don't know.
All right, well, that's...
I don't know. We've got some suspicions, but we can't prove it one way or the other. I thought it was more interesting when I first did the clues of why there were almost no nonstop flights in the Southern Hemisphere. Meaning from between Africa and South America and Australia, 95% of the flights are multiple connections. And you're saying, well, what does that mean? I'm going, well, because where we are, we can get nonstops anywhere. It's just a question of money. In fact, I had a corporate travel agent down in your neck of the woods. Well, actually in Australia. She said, she goes, you don't know how frustrating it is. She goes, you have no idea how frustrating it is because there are capital cities in the Southern Hemisphere, which it doesn't matter how much money you have, you cannot get nonstop flights to. And she goes, and they should be easy and it doesn't happen. And so, yeah, I know. I've heard the Santiago, Chile. In fact, I heard that 4 years ago.
It's not a catch question. I've literally flown from here to Sydney, and I know the length of the flight. And
what I thought was more interesting, here's my counter, which, again, somebody try to counter. I know in chat they're going to have a hard time with it, which is fine. Show me the route. Meaning,
well, I actually went over the Antarctic, and I've got a photograph. Well,
over the Antarctic, flights don't go over the Antarctic.
No, but I looked out the window. I looked out the window and I saw the ice.
You were over the Antarctic.
And I actually took a photograph out the window.
Flights have been banned from the Antarctic for 30 years. Commercial flights. I don't know where you were, but you weren't over the Antarctic.
Let me just tell you quickly. So I flew back from Sydney to Johannesburg. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But the flight went, the flight path went over a portion of the Antarctic. I literally saw it out the window because the pilot told us to look out the window. And for a few hours, it was just white at the bottom, ice, okay? And on my little
So you caught the fringe.
Yeah. And it was a Qantas flight, and I had a little TV screen in front of me, and it showed the flight path, and the plane was flying over the Antarctic, and I took a photograph of that as well, just because it was so interesting.
Got it.
Now, are you saying that didn't happen?
No. I'm saying you probably caught the fringe of it. Sure. Now you can you cut across it directly? No, you cannot. Those have been banned ever since some plane supposedly crashed in the 1970s in a mountain out there. It's like, what, one plane crash and you ban all flights from going over the heart of Antarctica. Mm. For me, the bigger question is, why does the GPS system not track you? Meaning when people say, okay, I've flown from here to here, I go, which is why I did Clue 9. Everyone gets stuck on Clue 7. It's like, no, I found nonstop flights. So it's like, great, you found nonstop flights. That's why I made Clue 9, which is show me the route. Meaning when you get over water, remember, the GPS system, American military system, 32 supposedly blanket covered satellites, when you get over water, maybe 150 miles offshore where there's no repeating land things to go off of, your latitude and longitude go into estimated or approximated mode, meaning you blink off, you're gone. Now, you have sort of a bearing of where you are, but the system is not tracking you exactly where you are. Because the GPS system doesn't work out there, because the GPS system is a land-based system. It is literally a rebranding of the old Loran system, which was land-based radar. They just threw a sticker on it, said they had satellites. Now, are there satellites? Yes, there are. Are they tied to the GPS system? Nah. As a matter of fact, most of the satellites go up via the high-altitude balloon program from NASA. Most of them don't even go up via rocket, but that's a whole other thing.
Tell me now about satellites. I mean, how does a cell phone then work?
Oh, ground towers and fiber optics. And anyone in tech will tell you this. I mean, almost all of our data, almost all of the bandwidth is from the old systems, which have been upgraded to fiber optics, which is, you know, underwater cables for Morse code. We're upgraded eventually to better lines, then finally upgraded to fiber optics. Use repeaters with cell towers for most of the stuff.
So there are no satellites?
And of course, there's satellites. Yes.
They're inside the dome.
Yes. But are they transmitting most of the bandwidth? No. Do they transmit a little bandwidth? Sure. Why not? But most of it doesn't, you don't need it. Pennies on the dollar. If you can get a set, in fact, you can look these up. They're wonderful videos on this where NASA's proud of it. NASA is.
Ooh.
Load with a balloon.
Sorry,
for pennies
Mark, I lost
on the dollar.
You there for a second. You're back. Your Skype connection.
Oh, I'm sorry. So NASA. That's right. So NASA. Am I back?
Yeah, you're back. Yeah.
Okay. So NASA's high altitude weather balloon program can lift payloads of 4 tons. Why would you use a rocket for any of that? Launching 4 tons on a rocket is extremely expensive. With that being said, can you transmit some bandwidth? Yes, via satellites. Yes. Most of it, no, you don't. You go with the land system. That's what we're talking on now.
Sure. Okay. All right. So so you're using fiber optics right now, I'm guessing.
Well, yeah, everybody is. Yeah. I mean, look at there is a huge amount of fiber optic cables that's being laid between all the continents.
Yeah.
Huge amounts. Yeah. And it's not a secret.
I just want to ask you something quickly. The microphone that you're holding, is it flat?
No, it is a blue. Well, what are you talking? Oh, you're talking through your head.
I'm also using a microphone. Yeah.
Well, yours isn't exactly flat. All microphones are shaped like this, with the exception of the wind piece. Yeah, I know. In fact, it's funny you mentioned that because I used to have a white one, and people just gave me so much hell for it. It's like you're holding a globe. You're holding a globe. That's how passionate the Flat Earth community is.
One of the questions in the comments was asking about the distance between, I think, Europe and the US because of the map of the flat earth, but I guess it's related to the same question I was asking about the flight distances.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. I can't give you an exact distance between. Got to remember the GPS system also will not only tell you where your nearest Starbucks is, but from the military standpoint, it's also going to tell you where you can, you know, it's going to turn you in a certain direction. As well. So it can't be trusted. I mean, sorry, look, the GPS system, we all say, it's completely, it's legitimate. It's like, it's military. Mm. It's the United States military system. Not to be petty, but so is the internet. I mean, technically the internet
is created by the U.S.
also,
government, essentially.
Yeah, of course. It's like, oh no, they aren't spying on us. What are you talking about? The backbone is the United States military. Of course, they're going to listen to all this stuff, including me.
Are you quite paranoid?
No,
because
no, but I'm different from your standard conspiracy.
Yes,
person.
I know. Because do I believe... in your film, you showed if there were conspiracy theories as books on a shelf, the one that you would choose is the one right at the far end.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, the one I didn't choose. I mean, the one that I always ignored. I'm a little different though. There's a lot of conspiracy people that are, you know, dark and, you know, they like their conspiracies like they like Heath Ledger Batman. You know, they're dark and mysterious and like I'm gargling marbles and stuff. But I'm a big believer in the greater good. So when I look at a conspiracy, I measure its weight on if I would do it. Meaning if I put myself in their shoes, would I do the same thing? You know, it's like, okay, why? I understand the conspiracy, but why? And if I agree with it or if I can't come up with a better answer, that's like, oh, okay, I get it, you know, for the greater good. I mean, sacrifices are
made. There are two great comments in the the one guy who is a flat earther by his own admission says that you aren't doing the flat earth movement any good. He says that your comments are a bit clownish.
Cool, do better.
I don't know who he is.
Replace me.
Yeah, I don't know who he is or who she
is. No, it's fine. No, and I hear that. To anyone who ever says that, because I've done, I am currently the freshman recruiter. If Flat Earth was a university, I'm the freshman recruiter, which means I'm doing most of the interviews. To him, I would say, it's like, fine, tell me who you want me to refer, and I will pick that person. And I will absolutely guarantee they get my next five interviews.
And then
tell me who it is. But tell them to say it in chat. It's like, pick a guy who you want on camera right now. And if he says Eric Dubé, I'll be like, well, okay, you can't do that, and you know why. So, no, I don't
care.
And then
another comment, which I thought was very funny, said a shout-out to Terry Pratchett's Discworld. Because it's the Earth is on top of a tortoise. You know Terry Pratchett?
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, and by the way, I've got to clarify, because if you type in Flat Earth into Google and you click on images, almost always you'll get that flying disc in space.
With a tortoise.
Almost always. And the media loves using that. And we're the first people to tell you. It's like, no. It's like, why would there be space? We're talking about a snow globe that could be sitting on the desk of some research lab. It's like, why does there have to be space? In fact, the whole point of Flat Earth is that space makes no sense. Space is this. Even Carl Sagan said that. Carl Sagan said, space is just amazingly huge and empty. He goes, it seems like a waste because there's just nothing in it. It's 99.99% nothing. So why would you build it like that? And again, not to go off the biblical side, it's like, well, you're saying that God is lazy. I'm going, no, I'm saying that God is efficient. Whoever built this is extremely efficient. And if most of the people believe the illusion, believe that whatever is up there, remember, there's a great line from The Truman Show, which I love so much, which is, we believe the world that is presented to us. Plain and simple. Everybody, in fact, in our country, if it's on the news, it's absolutely real. And objective.
Well, we do know that CNN always tells the truth.
Always, always. And Fox News, NBC. Nobody is biased. There is no corporate intervention by anything. It's like, come on, guys. It's like, you know full well. And that's from going all the way back to what? Citizen Kane. It's like, if you are really rich and you don't like the way a particular news organization is portraying you, what do? You buy them. And that's it.
So I've got a science question. I want to go back to some science stuff again. Stuff. I'm not quite sure now. I don't even know where I am in life at the moment.
All right.
When I look at a sunset or a sunrise, let me just try and explain my understanding. So in the flat earth model, the sun is above everything at all times. But if I look at a sunset or a sunrise, I see the reflection of the sun underneath the clouds. Because I live on the coastline, so I can see that happening. And I can see the sun becoming a half sun and then disappearing behind the horizon. What am I seeing?
All right. Let me answer the first part, or the second part first, which is the sun going off into the distance. People think they see seen the sun setting, and I absolutely would have been with you, again, up until HD technology. And that is when, in fact, there's some wonderful videos. I'll send it to you when we're done, where the sun's going off in the distance. It's just going away. And when it gets off to a certain amount, remember, with atmospheric lensing and everything, it's going to start basically blurring out, which means it's going to look like it's setting. But if you zoom in with a camera, as long as you got your filters on, that sun pops back up. That's not possible. Remember, you already saw it. It's halfway below the horizon. It's gone. It's like, really? Crank up the zoom. Crank up the zoom. The sun is now popped back up. But when you move your camera down, it's already half the horizon. Camera up, it's popped up again. Doesn't shouldn't make sense. Basically, what we're saying is the sun just moves away. It is only, remember, it's very, very, very small. So it can, it absolutely can just go away into the distance, and it's not above you at all times.
Okay, but then,
and as far as the sun going underneath the clouds, I don't know. I have no idea what the lighting effects are. I mean, because remember, for me, it's a little different because, and not to get into this towards the end, but for me, there's a virtual aspect to it, which is if it is flat and it's enclosed, it's probably also digital, probably also virtual, which blows away the whole concept of the speed of light and everything else that's in it. But I can't talk. I don't usually talk about that because the average person doesn't understand it. Look, the Matrix is now 20 years old. Nobody got it. It's like the Matrix, you got it. But a lot of people in the streets like, oh yeah, the Matrix, in Matrix, out of the Matrix, red pill, blue pill. 20 years, no, it didn't sink in with the public. But I have to start somewhere, which is it's flat.
Okay, so,
because all simulations, remember, do you play games, by the way?
No, not really. I play Call of Duty with my wife.
Okay, perfect. Call of Duty, GTA, Fortnite, Warcraft, all of them. You know what the common thing with all those games are? They're all flat, which is interesting. Every simulation we build is perfectly flat. You want to know why? Because it's easy. Mm. Nobody likes building curves to everything. Why would you build? And the reason is because why would you build a curve if the average person that's in the game doesn't notice it? Why would you build it? It's like, well, because. It's like, no, you build it. You basically just a big box, and then you simulate all the curves. Remember, computers can't think in curves. They can only think in squares, which is weird. Yeah. But it's true. Yeah. Like pixels are pixels. We can draw curves. Human beings are weird that way. We can draw circles. Computers can't. Not really. Anyway, go ahead. I know. I'm wound up.
No.
I haven't been.
we are over time, but I hope you don't mind still hanging around.
What else you got?
It's not what I've got. I've just... if the Earth is flat...
Flat.
And this topic of gravity is... controversial. Is the Earth moving through space? Is it hovering? What is it doing? Is it moving upwards?
You come on. We just talked about this. Why does there have to be space?
Oh, all right.
Who said this?
So you don't know what?
Yeah.
No,
it's good. But that's part of the conditioning, which is, you got to remember, the reason why it blows people's minds is because of that thing that's behind your right shoulder right now, which is, got to remember, in the United States. Yeah, that's very nice that you have a globe back there. Very subliminal. Which is, think of it this way. In the United States, here's a perfect example of conditioning. In the United States, we have our flag sitting in the corner of every classroom, right? And it's there literally from the time you're in first grade all the way through 12th grade. By the time you're done with 12th grade, there's a lot of people that, you know, it's like, wow, you know, that flag, I'm willing to fight for it. They'll join the military, just some of them based on the freaking flag. What's usually below that flag? That stupid globe. You know, what's the difference between the flag and the globe? Almost nothing. Only that they're just two images that have been sitting in there. It's a powerful thing. You have that thing sitting in the corner of your classroom for 12 years. What do you think people are going to do? It's like, oh, yeah, that's where we live. That's it. What, you don't believe in that? You're stupid.
So
it's amazing the condition.
So on this.
But I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Gravity. So, no, the Earth isn't that. By the way, it's an old argument, which is, you know, is the Earth flying through space sideways? No. I mean, is the flat out? No. There doesn't have to be space. Who told you there was space in the first place? The American military, those guys, they told you there was space.
So on this model of the flat Earth, the sun is going around like that, correct?
Yes.
Circling around the center. Okay, so if I'm on the one side and the sun is moving away, I'm guessing towards nighttime, why doesn't the sun get smaller as it goes further away from me and gets bigger? And over noon, lunchtime, it would be at its biggest size, I'm guessing.
And in some cases, again, the jury's still out on this one, but in some videos that we have watched, the sun actually does get smaller when it goes off in the distance. But it's so bright, you don't notice it. It's so weird. I could show you some wonderful videos on it I've seen conflicting videos, which is kind of like, the sun, I didn't realize the aspects of the sun until I watched the eclipse. Which was, the sun is so bright that nobody looks at it as an object like a circle. It's just so bright you can't even fathom it. But you throw filters on it and you send it off into the distance, it does seem to get smaller. At least in some of the stuff I've watched.
And explain this to me, Mark. I live in the southern hemisphere, you live in the northern hemisphere. If I go outside right now, it's nighttime for me, it's daytime for you. If I go outside now and I look up at the sky, it's not the same sky as what you look at.
You're absolutely right. Why is that happen? Short answer, multiple projection systems. How's that?
Okay.
So if you're in a planetarium, and again, I don't know if they have planetariums down in Joburg. Wait, are you? You're not
in
Joburg.
I'm in Cape Town.
You're outside.
And yes, we do have planetariums.
Okay, perfect. Well, I don't know. I mean, no, we don't go to. We've got lots of them. Nobody goes.
Do you think?
To them.
Do you think I ride a tiger in the streets? Or a lion.
and no, I think you hang out with D. Antwoord. How's that?
I like the way you said it.
What, D. Antwoord?
Yeah, it's not pronounced like that, but it's fine.
Wait, how is it pronounced?
It's actually an Afrikaans word, so it's actually D. Antwoord. So it's more, you must try and say it with a German.
Oh, with an accent? Nah. No, I'm an American. Sorry, so what was the question again? It's good. Okay, so imagine this. So you're in a planetarium. There's only one projection system because it's not very big. It's not even a couple hundred yards wide, right? But let's say you're in a planetarium that's only, say, 100 miles wide, right? You are on one side, your friend's on the other side, and you're both having cell phones, you're talking to each other. And you say, hey, I see the belt of Orion. And you say, oh, I see the belt of Orion too, but it's upside down, and the star in the middle is blue. And he says, no, it's red. Who's right? Well, or you've seen completely different star systems. It doesn't really matter because you can only, in something this big, you can't be in two places at the same time. So you just do multiple projection systems. That's the way I would do it. I mean, we've been doing this literally in virtual aspects for 20 years.
And then based on that, seasons.
Yes.
How do you have inverted seasons? If I'm now going into summer and I think you're going into...
Gotcha. The sun, it's a combination of several things. But the easiest one for people to understand would be, again, you're not that old because you look like you're 28.
Thank you.
Which is the sun going around like a needle on a record player. So on a record player, remember, it doesn't take the same track every time. And as the song plays, it goes closer and closer in. And if you reversed it, it would go further and further out. That's how you do the seasons. That in combination with a few other things to remember, because the sun wouldn't be totally responsible for all the heating and cooling aspects of this. You've got the jet stream up above. You've got the underwater conveyor system. People take that for granted. That transfers huge amounts of energy in the oceans. The magma system and anything else you can think of.
I've got one more question, and then I think we'll probably start wrapping up, and I'll go to the comments. But
okay.
Actually, I've actually now forgotten what I wanted to ask you. Hang on. I wrote it down. Just give me a second. All right. Why does the moon have craters if it's just a prop? Is it just part of the prop?
Yeah, I was about to say, why decorate any
And then
prop,
for that matter...
In fact, no. I'll let me run with this one for a second, which is, why are all the craters so perfect? Meaning most people, again, completely miss it. It's like, okay, the moon is full of craters. We all know that. You know, the moon is made of cheese. Why are all the craters 90-degree impact craters? Statistically, that's impossible. Meaning all the craters are like the asteroids came in at a perfect 90-degree angle, came in straight into the ground, didn't skiff off of anything. There's no skid marks. It's all perfect craters all the way around this thing. It's like that doesn't happen. The moon has a weak, if you even believe, you know, that the moon is real, that would imply that the weak form of gravity wouldn't, you know, and the moon's gravity is not going to divert anything. There's no elongated skid. They're all 90 degree.
So craters. Then what causes the tides?
Oh, it's underground. It's the same thing that causes the tides is no different than gravity. It's just a modification of gravity. Because remember, I'm saying this from a design standpoint. Remember, I came from game design. So I have to look at it as like, okay, why would you do these things? The last thing you would do if you want to control the tides is hook up a directional gravitational force to the moon. It's too small, and it's just problematic. So you just manipulate it from down below. What?
Are they just
torching me in chat?
No. It's just this conversation is nuts. All right, let me quickly look at a few comments. You've been very gracious by hanging around after time.
No.
I honestly have enjoyed this conversation. I think I'd love to get you back on. I think this is going to be a very popular video and podcast, and I think people are going to want you back on. There's so much more to ask, but let me just quickly ask you a few comments from the comments.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. The flat earther in the comments is saying that you're just not getting it, so he doesn't like you. He's one of yours who doesn't like you.
Oh, wait. He's a flat earther? Yes. He just doesn't like me? Fine. Whoever it is, track this, and you can tell me later. Fine. Who do you want to be interviewed? What flat earther do you want to be interviewed? Name him.
Okay, then I want to ask you something.
Is Jaron, Bob, David Weiss, Patricia, Anthony, Roxanne? I could go on and on and on. There's so many high-profile people in flat earth.
So there's a guy saying, where the F do you get all this information? I guess that's a one you get asked often.
You just do your own. It's a great question, by the way, and I don't mind that he swore about it because it's a good question, which is, I'm not here to convince you. I'm not even here to persuade you. I'm just trying to give you something to think about. Don't take my word for it. Do your own research and ask questions. Then do. I mean, everyone does the same thing. It's like, wow, this is the stupidest idea ever. Guy, go fine. Research it. Figure out where I went wrong and then tell me. Send me an email that convinces me and I will quit Flat Earth tomorrow. Every day I try to, seriously, every morning I try to destroy Flat Earth, and every day I fail.
Okay.
I
don't want to. He's answered your question. He said, yeah, excuse me if I get this name wrong. He says, Antonio
Subirats?
Yeah. I don't know how to say that.
Antonio Subirats. Oh my God. Antonio is a pariah in the UK. Really? After the whole Patricia thing? Yeah. Antonio won't get to do anything ever.
Who is this Antonio person?
Oh, Antonio Subirats is he's one of the Flat Earth members out in the UK, and he has burned so many bridges, including he was the ex-boyfriend of the woman in the documentary, Patricia Steer. Remember, well, in fact, in the documentary, when the thing where she moved to London, that brief thing where she moved to London and we were apart for a while.
Yeah.
That's why she moved to London, was to be with Antonio Subirats, and it ended horribly. So yeah, great choice out of all. It's the first time I've ever heard anyone say, yeah, Antonio. Oh my God, you would have been better off with Jaron or Bob or something.
So are you not friendly with Antonio?
God, no, I can't be. No, I can't be. Not after the whole Patricia thing. No. No. I won't. Well, I won't talk about this on air.
Okay. No problem.
No. He's an instigator. Has he helped us in the past with some things? Sure, but he has burned bridges. He has pissed a lot of people off.
I'm gonna give you one more comment because I think you have to probably duck. It's a great comment. It's not even a question. It just says, yeah, he thinks that you sound like a Bill Murray from Ghostbusters.
You know, I get that a lot, and I'm going to take that as a compliment because I used to be a lot cuter when I was 20. But yeah, people have said many times, like, oh, wow, you remind me of Bill Murray when he was, you know, a certain age. And it's like, wow, that's awesome. I mean, look, Bill Murray is a fantastic actor and a wonderful comedian, and I have loved his work, and I grew up with Bill Murray. So, you know what? Thank you.
I just want to say quickly, you were talking about the U.S. military and how they are so powerful. It must be fantastic having a military that actually can do something. Wait until you come to our country. We have a military that is unbelievably useless. So,
do you know that
there was a story, I think, it was about 3 years ago, where one of the submarines out here in Cape Town, They were doing a test, I don't know if you call it a drive pilot, and they rammed it into the ground onto the seabed, and it got damaged.
Look, the grass is always greener. I know that some people say, oh, you know, the American military, but come on, there's a lot of people that hate the American military. I mean, we try to be, let me sum it up with this. We try to be the good guys. We try to be the white hats. And it's kind of tough to do when you're into colonialization and, you know, taking things. it's like, come on, let's face it, guys. It's nice, you know, if you have resources, like if you have oil on the under the ground right now, it's only a matter of time before someone...
We have lots of gas under the ground.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time before someone comes knocking on your door. And the first choice is probably going to be us.
Mark,
so
I want to kill the stream now because you've been very gracious by being over time. I'm going to play my outro video. Don't go anywhere. I just want to get your details.
Sure.
But I just want to say thank you to everybody for watching. This has been quite possibly the weirdest conversation I think I've had in years. But it's been wonderfully entertaining. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. And please catch Germ Warfare next week. Mark, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. All right.
Ciao.